Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks for Wall Street Reporter. Today I am speaking with David Kaysen. He's the new CEO of Medibio. The stock symbol is MEB on the Australian exchange. And over the counter, the stock symbol is MDBIF. David, welcome.
Thank you very much, Jack. I appreciate it. Nice speaking with you.
Yes, so you were recently appointed the new CEO of the company, so congratulations. And
thank you.
Yes, yeah, so I'm going to ask you about your background in a little bit, but you know, first if you can tell our audience what Medibio does.
Sure, certainly. Thanks, Jack. Medibio is a technology company focused on a platform and algorithm that is aimed at objectively looking at mental health issues. Specifically, our platform is based on gathering biometric data, heart rate, resting heart rate, sleep heart rate, those types of metrics, which are gathered often with a wearable, Fitbit, Garmin, some device, that is then run through our algorithm. Currently, we have an app-based application that we're selling into the corporate environment in Australia. And that algorithm evaluates a variety of biometric data points, other input that we get from the individual. And based on that, we're able to monitor specific areas related to the individual's mental health. As we all know, people are very focused on physical health. Our opportunity and what we see as a significant market is the ability to very objectively evaluate an individual's mental health. And that's what we're focused on. We're evolving this business in that direction, and are very excited about the opportunities ahead of us.
Okay, so it's basically it's a mental health diagnostics product that you have.
Right, exactly, and that will evolve over time as we build out the platform. As we look at a variety of different mental health areas and issues, but we're looking to capture specific data points and then through technology objectively measure those data points and feed that back. As you know, I'm sure, an awful lot of mental health is far more subjective based on questionnaires, feedback, meetings with individual patients and so on. We're looking to objectively quantify that information and provide that to the individual as well as ultimately the caregiver.
Okay. And which specific mental health issues can you diagnose?
Well, at this stage, we're looking at stress management. As we continue to build out the platform, we could be very, very focused on depression. There are other aspects of our lives that affect both depression and stress as well. Sleep patterns are critical, being able to provide feedback relative to that and how that impacts stress, depression, and other issues. PTSD is another area that could evolve over time. So there are a number of different triggers and issues that individuals are dealing with that have a very profound and direct impact on stress levels and depression particularly. So those are areas we are going to be focused in on and are working on right now, as I said, in the corporate environment down in Australia.
Okay. So let me ask you about that. How who do you sell to right now? Is it consumers? You mentioned corporate or care providers. Like, who are your customers?
Yeah, right now, the product that we're currently marketing, and this is right now in Australia exclusively. We today do not have any FDA clearances here in the United States, although we're working very diligently on that. We do have a CE mark, and we also have in Australia the TGA certification. So right now we're marketing in Australia to the corporate wellness environment. So larger corporations that have typically have wellness programs as a part of their offering to their employees. Most of those wellness programs, really worldwide, are focused on physical health and providing openings and information and feedback to their employees about improving their physical health and so on. So we have got a couple of pilots, actually several pilots down in Australia with larger corporations where we're working to integrate our platform into their overall wellness offering to employees, and employees are able to participate in this offering. And again, these are in pilots right now, and we're looking to future expansion after we and the corporation see the results and the performance within their company. And so we're able to provide feedback to those individuals, those employees, based on a questionnaire, and if they've got a wearable device, feedback from heart rate monitoring and other indications. And we're really helping the employee become aware of their stress level, helping the employee become aware that they may be entering somewhat of a depressive state, and then the system allows them or opens up an opportunity for them to seek some professional assistance if they so desire. So that's our focus today. We've got a number of other ideas that we've not disclosed publicly that we're working on in terms of expanding the platform. But today we're in Australia and working on that particular area, which obviously could be expanded around the world based on regulatory clearance.
Okay. And how long has this pilot been going?
I think the first pilot began probably about a year ago or thereabouts, in that range.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We've just about 3 or 4 months ago announced a new pilot, so it's relatively new, but we're out speaking to other corporations at this time as well.
Okay, and how does the business model work? Like, what exactly do you sell to them? How do you make money with this?
Yeah, the objective and the opportunity, as this has the potential to roll out on a broad scale within a particular corporation, could go a couple of different ways. We could, if we customize our system specifically to a particular corporate environment, we could enter into a licensing fee, a fee for service or fee per use under a license. If they're going to utilize what I'm going to call the more standard approach or our approach, they could. We would charge a certain amount per individual employee, probably an overall initiation fee to the company, and then a per employee monthly charge from that perspective. So. Again, we're still in the pilot where we're getting a certain sum of money from the company to roll it out to a targeted number of their employees to get their feedback and understand how they can fit it into their overall wellness program.
Okay, so this has been running for a year now. What kind of feedback are you getting from the customers?
Yeah, the feedback, and again, the platform and the technology has been evolving during that time. We've learned from those potential customers. We've gotten good feedback in terms of other things that they would like to see. So generally, the feedback, we're getting a reasonable uptake in terms of the number of employees that are participating in the trial. Obviously, some of that is based on how it's, internally marketed by the corporation, and we're learning more about how to partner with the corporation to roll it out to their employee base. But generally speaking, we're getting very good uptake. We're getting good feedback in terms of data that is getting provided back to the individual employee. And that's all anonymous, of course, to the corporation for the employee. Corporation just sees number of enrollees, but has no way to identify a particular employee. So, again, the reason it's a pilot is the corporations are learning, and we're learning from them as well. So I would say at this stage, we're encouraged by what we're seeing so far, and it's allowing us to make improvements on the platform, and we'll continue to do that as we talk to additional companies down in that particular market.
Okay, and so when you at what stage do you see this, entering, full scale, commercialization, starting with Australia? When do you expect to see that?
Yeah, we would expect to see, and to a certain extent, it's commercial now on a small scale. So we are seeing revenue. How that rolls out, Jack, I can't give you a hard time frame. Obviously, in the public domain, there are certain things that we can and cannot disclose, and we haven't disclosed any specific time frame or particular targets at this time. But suffice it to say, we would see 2019 as a year where we would begin to see a broader commercialization within the company as it relates to this product and potentially other products as we see various clearances coming down the road,
Okay.
regulatory.
Okay. How big? How big is this market? What do you think is the potential size of the market opportunity for your products?
Well, mental health, as a broad spectrum, is an enormous market. The number of lost days from a corporate perspective, work days, is significant. Those dollars are pretty well defined and quite large. And so, if we look at really three particular areas, from that perspective, we really see some large dollars in this marketplace that are well into the billions of dollars from that perspective. In terms of organizations, it's staggering in terms of the number of people that are impacted by this. There's data that shows 2.9 million hours of work, productive work, are lost every year. So the numbers are quite gigantic in terms of the impact on corporations, in terms of lost productivity and work days and so on. So if you look at the overall healthcare system as an example, if we look at treating just major depressive disorders as an example, in the United States, there's documented data that shows that that's an impact to our system of over $90 billion, in terms of direct cost to treat this affliction. In Australia, it's over $12 billion. So the numbers are gigantic, and it's, as I think we all understand, it's often underreported. And so having an opportunity for an individual to be able to get that feedback personally and as an individual, and then ideally spurring them on to some level of treatment or moving forward in a positive way is gigantic. So the number of people that are impacted by it, the impact on corporations, the impact on the healthcare system is very, very gigantic. And that's really the opportunity as we look forward.
Okay. And so from what I understand, so you're essentially, the way this works is the data comes in through a wearable device?
That's a significant portion of it. The wearable device provides us with the biometric markers that are important from our algorithm to effectively understand the specific objective points that we're looking at. So we're looking at resting heart rate during sleep, tracking that over a period of time. Those are really very, very specific biomarkers that there's a good deal of published data out there showing that the impact of heart rate variability has a very direct correlation to stress levels and depression. So there are a number of wearable devices that are paired to our particular technology, and then that becomes an app-based system. So the feedback is provided back again in a corporate environment and other markets through a person's phone, and they're able to, on a regular basis, monitor that feedback, and it's, you know, it's very real time. So it's providing that information to that individual in a way that is easy for them to understand and direct in terms of where they are and if they should seek some additional outside help, help trigger them to move that way.
Okay, so essentially, but you're not selling any proprietary devices, though, right? You basically integrate this through.
No, we are not any proprietary.
Okay,
right, exactly.
So you integrate through, I don't know, Fitbit, so, or what other devices do you
Fitbit,
work with?
Fitbit, Garmin, Apple, or just that, I'm sorry, Fitbit and Garmin are the primary devices that we use for that feedback. And they're, you know, certain, they need to have certain specific feedback capabilities to match with ours. So there are a number of different models that of those devices that we have the opportunity to pair with.
Okay, so essentially you're basically a software company, more or less, a healthcare.
Yes.
Software
technology.
Okay. Now, to market this in the U.S., do you need FDA approval?
Yes, we would, because we would be looking to market it to specific indications of use, and so that would require FDA certain clearance. We're currently working on a de novo application, and we've also publicly disclosed that we believe there are one or more 510K approaches for that FDA clearance. But the larger market, the larger opportunity really is seeing this as a medically based technology that can be marketed and aimed at very specific indications of use. So the FDA is certainly, that regulatory path is important to us. We do have a CE mark in Europe, and we have TGA approval in Australia. So those regulatory bodies and those clearances will open up the market as we aim at these specific indications of use.
Okay. What's the outlook for getting the FDA approval for the product here?
Sure. Well, we submitted a de novo application to the FDA in July of this year. About a little over a month ago now, we received the request for additional clarification and questions that the FDA asked. And so that process is ongoing as we speak. If you and your readers are familiar with the de novo process, the FDA comes back with questions after the submission. We have a certain amount of time to respond to those questions. The FDA will review our responses, and within a specified period of time, they will come back, likely with additional questions, and that can go on for some time as we coordinate with the FDA and work through and make sure they're comfortable with the technology and what we're proposing to get their clearance for as it relates to that. So that process is unfolding now. We're working on that and working with the FDA on that. And then parallel to that, we believe we've got one or more opportunities to use a part of the platform following a predicate device in the 510K path. So we've publicly disclosed that we would expect that we could have one or more 510K clearances by the end of April of next year.
Okay, and so by the end of April 2019, you could have the clearance.
In the 510K path.
510K.
We don't know how long the de novo path will take.
Okay.
That simply depends on the give and take, the questions and responses back and forth with the FDA. As I'm sure you're aware, the de novo application does require a clinical study to be a part of that application. And so, you know, they're digging into the study and have questions about it, methodology and so on. And so we'll be answering those questions and getting that back to them. Whereas obviously the 510K path does not require any clinical study. You're really providing to the FDA how this particular technology can be added to or similar to some predicate technology, but just making some additions to that.
Okay, but in theory, once you get the 510K, you could start commercializing this in the U.S. market in 2019. Is that a possibility?
Yes, that's correct. And we've publicly stated we would anticipate, assuming that clearance, and by the end of April, that in 2019, we would be rolling out commercially here in the United States. And that rollout would be dependent on what the specificity of the 510K is, what that clearance is in terms of how what market it would be and how we would roll that out. So we're putting that information or that application together now. And, once we get down that path and ideally get a clearance, at that point in time, we would announce the specificity of what that 510K is and the market opportunity.
Now, I just want to ask you about the Australian pilot. What's the size of the company that's doing the pilot right now?
Yeah. These are very large corporations employing on a worldwide basis that have a large basis in Australia. There are a couple that we're talking to now and have talked to in the past that have tried a pilot, a short-term pilot, that, you know, have tens of thousands of employees. So these are large corporations, typically multinational corporations. Some of which are headquartered in Australia, some of which are a large branch of a multinational headquartered someplace else. So we've got these are the kinds of corporations that offer these very broad-based wellness plans to their employees. So they're looking to add the mental health portion of it to this offering to their large base of employees.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the reason. So essentially, your main focus will be on larger corporations in the U.S. to start. Is that
in the corporate environment? Now, you know, it's yet to be determined based on the regulatory path if our first Entrance in the U.S. is through a corporate platform or some other platform. But clearly the largest opportunity in that corporate environment, from what we've seen so far in Australia, tends to be larger employees that have these very sophisticated programs that they offer to their employees.
Okay. So let's say in the U.S. or I guess maybe anywhere in the world, a company with 5,000 employees, which I guess would be the mid-size maybe, but how much would something like that generate? Like a company with 5,000 employees in their system, what kind of numbers could that produce?
That's a great question, Jack. My answer at this stage would be it's premature to put a hard number on that for us, because again, part of these pilots is allowing us to best determine what the pricing strategy and approach is in a corporate environment to that particular client. And so I would say we're working through that in a variety of different approaches as we test that market. So again, if you look at or consider a logical revenue stream to potentially being X number of dollars per employee per month that they're engaged, that would be the basis of the revenue stream. The thing we don't have defined right now is what the number X is. And so that will be evolving as we continue to move through these pilot projects.
Okay. I would think that the U.S., is probably the ideal market for this because of, it seems like there's very serious mental health issues in the U.S., combined with, these mass shootings, which, are constantly in the headlines. And, this would seem like your product would seem like a cheap insurance policy for, any major corporation to have just to kind of get, take that liability off their books.
Well, I think the key, Jack, the real opportunity is, number one, you're absolutely right. The mental health in the United States is something that many people deal with. I think we've all probably had friends, relatives that we know have struggled with issues. A lot of the problem is that market is really the feedback, the information is really quite subjective. There's not much really hard data that can get fed back to the individual, giving them some indication of where they are in a state of mind at a particular point in time. So the opportunity is whether it's a company, whether it's a healthcare provider, whether it's an individual, having the potential opportunity to get very objective feedback that your sleep pattern is very disruptive. You need more sleep. You need more exercise. Whatever it may be, I think is important to everyone from a mental health perspective. In a corporate environment, I think, as we've discussed, the number of lost work days, productivity days, the impact to a corporation when you really look at the numbers is staggering. And so I think a company would probably realistically look at this as a way to really open up the eyes of their employee base to more objectively measure their mental health state, and if there's a need to seek some help, to speak to someone, help direct that particular individual to a place where they can seek some professional help. And so, I'm not sure if I'd use the term insurance policy as much as an opportunity to assist their workforce. Again, not only in addition to, but on top of assisting them from a physical health perspective, how can we really help our employee base from a mental health perspective?
Okay. What about the competitive landscape? Are there any other similar, products on the market like this? What else? Who are you competing with?
Yeah, there really is nothing that we're aware of that no company that's working specifically on our approach to this. I think that there are certainly I'm going to call them more subjective approaches. There are companies that are staffed with psychologists, phone-in psychologists, as an example, where they may contract with a company and have employees be able to call in to them for a conversation. But again, that's a more subjective approach. So we're not aware of anybody that is approaching this to technologically measure these biomarkers and provide the feedback, again, in a very objective way to the individual.
Okay. So David, what can you tell us about your background and what made you get involved with MediBio?
Sure. In my career, the vast majority of my career has been involved in the greater medical device or medical technology area. I'm based in Minneapolis, and I think, as most people know, this is a has always been a hotbed of medical device companies. So, in my most formative years, I'll call it, I've run three publicly traded, NASDAQ-listed, small-cap med device companies, two med device companies, and one diagnostic company. And those were typically very small companies, often struggling in one way or another from the perspective of if they had revenues, stalled revenues, often costs were out of line, and every one of them needed to raise money. And so that's kind of what my specialty, if you will. I love to get involved in that type of a company. Which is really generally my experience has been the company has good people. For one reason or another, it's just struggled to find its way or move forward. And so I've had good success growing those companies, starting from as smaller revenues as $3 to $4 million and over a period of time, growing them to a larger number, either the company ending up merging into another corporation or being purchased, or actually, in one instance, I was brought on by the board to evaluate if there was a real business, and we determined, although they had revenue, that it wasn't sustainable, so we closed that one down. But what I love to do, what I'm good at, is getting involved in a company that has interesting technology, a strong group of people that are excited about what they're doing, and for whatever, there's been a transition and a change in leadership, hopefully identifies some new paths forwards, some new strategies. Pull the team together and move forward in a very positive way. And so that's been my primary background in the medical technology area. All those companies have been based in the greater Minneapolis area. And what attracted me to MediBio were a lot of those same characteristics. What seemed to me and tremendous technology, a very strong group of people, both on the technical side, the business side, the business development side, that has been, I found very excited about what they're doing and this opportunity. And now is the time with a transition, replacing a former CEO and who set a groundwork, established our presence here in Minneapolis, and And now we, you know, the challenge for us is to really refine and define the commercial opportunity, clear the regulatory path here in the United States, build on the foothold we have in Australia in that market, look at the potential in Europe, and then move forward. And as I said earlier, like all the companies I've started with, right now, our number one goal is to raise funds, and so that's important to us to make sure the company is adequately funded to execute on these initiatives that we are putting into place. And so I believe it's an exciting time here at MediBio. I'm incredibly impressed with everyone that I've had an opportunity to meet with here at the company. We've obviously got this group here in Minneapolis. I'll be down in Australia in about a week and meeting the small group of people down there. But my interaction on the phone with those folks mirrors what I've seen here, which is a lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm for what we're doing. And it right now is a very exciting time for the company. And, you know, we look forward to executing over the upcoming months.
Okay. David, now you mentioned raising capital. How much, you know, what are your capital requirements for the next 12 months? Or how much are you looking to raise?
Yeah, good question. And again, you know, we're in the midst of putting that together and determining the most effective way to do that. As I know you're aware, you know, there are pre-marketing rules and regulations that restrict us from pre-marketing anything. But as we pull that together and determine the exact direction and process that we'll be going through, we'll be putting that into place, and those things will come out in the normal course. But we will be seeking capital in the not too distant future, and as that unfolds, there'll be indications of what that looks like as we begin that process. Again, as a public company.
Okay, so you know, if we can recap, what are the, you know, sort of what are your goals, and what are the some of the key milestones for the next 12 months?
Sure. Yeah, the primary goals are really to continue to focus on the regulatory path here in the United States. We'd like to see one or more 510K approvals by the end of April, so that's a milestone for us. We'll continue to focus on the de novo process here in the United States. That time frame is yet to be determined, as I mentioned earlier, depending on the back and forth with the FDA. In Australia, we're looking to determine the best way for us to continue to commercialize in the corporate environment down there, and specifically what that structure looks like, and the process that we would employ, and that will be throughout the year 2019. Another priority is obviously to raise the funds to give us the runway that we need to move forward, and then I think internally, a very important priority for me particularly is to really help energize the company, be very open and honest. My approach to these to companies such as MediBio is we're all in this together. We're going to work very hard, and we're going to be very comfortable with each other and know what we're doing, when we're doing it, and make sure that's communicated to all the internal stakeholders. And then we obviously also, as a publicly traded company in Australia, we have an incredible obligation to all the shareholders that we have to provide them with the direction and information of the company, and keep a very open line of communication from an investor perspective as well. So those would be the key priorities. 2019 will be an important year to us. We see this as a year that will begin the commercialization rollout and expand as we continue to see new opportunities and pursue new opportunities through the regulatory paths that are available to us.
Okay. Now, David, in your opinion, do you think that the investment community, fully understands, the MediBio story? And, if not, what is it that they might be missing?
Well, I think the MediBio story is evolving and has been evolving for a period of time. And I think, like a lot of younger companies that are looking at various opportunities, I think the investment community is looking for some specificity and some direction and milestones that we as a company can be comfortable in providing from an information standpoint to the investment community. So that opportunity will evolve for us, Jack, as we better define some of these specific areas particularly on the regulatory path. So I think it's an evolutionary story. One of our jobs will be to make sure that we're effectively getting that story into the marketplace so that the investment community has a better understanding of what we are, the opportunities ahead of us, and the direction we'll be taking.
Okay. Now, what again, in your opinion, what are the key reasons why investors should consider buying your stock today?
Well, I think it's several fold. Number one, the market is huge and very underserved. There is not real technology in the mental health space in the area of focus that we are aimed at here at our company. So it's a very, very large market. It's underserved. I think some of it is unknown as well. So that would be one thing. The other thing is that we believe we've got some measurable opportunities within the next, call it 12 to 18 months, that will be milestones that should have a catalyst on the price of the stock. And the number three thing, very frankly, is the stock is somewhat depressed right now. And as a result of that, I think that an individual investor could find this as a unique opportunity to get in into the company at a level that we certainly hope we will build on as we move forward into the future.
Well, on that note, David, I want to thank you, and we look forward to following your story in the months ahead.
Jack, thank you for your time today.